at his client.
"So you entirely refuse even to consider Mr. Merlin's offer? If I may say so, an extraordinarily generous offer."
Eve Petherick crushed out in an ashtray at her elbow the end of a cigarette he had offered her when she entered his office barely 10 minutes ago, and nodded her head quite decidedly. "Yes, I'm afraid I do."
"Although you realise that it may not be repeated, and even if it is, I doubt whether he will offer more."
"I don't wish him to offer more. I don't wish to sell to him."
"I see."
He studied her as if he could not quite make her out, although she was admittedly a most attractive subject for prolonged and thoughtful scrutiny. She had the kind of hair which the painter Titian had made famous in his day, and which was inclined to curl naturally, and the perfect, smooth, pale complexion which usually went with it. Her eyes were grey as wood smoke, and unusually serene behind their long eyelashes, and she had a little chin which he would have described as obstinate, particularly as her mouth was slightly obstinate too. But it was a really lovely mouth, and he even thought of it as faintly flower-like, as it was not very heavily made up. She was neat and trim in a tailored outfit, and she had managed to convey an impression of being quietly capable.
"I see,"
he repeated more slowly. But the trouble was, he did not see at all, as Eve realised, and it made her feel vaguely irritated as he pushed the box of cigarettes he had offered her before across the desk in her direction, and she shook her head. She was anxious to bring the interview to a close. "I don't wish to sell to anyone," she told him firmly. "I haven't yet seen Trelawne, but when I have, and certainly not before, I shall make up my mind what I will do with it."
"But by that time it may be too late," he pointed out. "Mr. Roger Merlin may have withdrawn his offer."
She shrugged slightly. Her shoulders were very slim, and her whole figure as slight and graceful as a willow wand. "In that case it won't matter in the least, but if he wants it as badly as you say, and his offer indicates, he will be willing to wait a few weeks. Presumably he has already waited quite a long time for my uncle to die, and if my uncle refused to sell to him, there is no reason that I can think of why I should do so."
"Can't you?"
He looked at her with a faintly humorous gleam in his eyes.
"Well, I can think of one very good one. Your uncle was a rich man, a very, very rich man. He was in a position to defy anybody and anything. But apart from leaving you 500 a year and the house, he did little to make your position so secure, unless you dispose of the house.
Have you any conception, I wonder, of the size of the place? It is not just a house, it is a manor house, and a very stately manor house at that. I have stayed there, and its gardens extend right to the very edge of the cliffs. It is quite famous in the district, and that is one reason why Mr. Merlin wishes to acquire it. He is quite a well-known hotelier, and the Stark Point Hotel on the other arm of the bay is his property, run very successfully, I believe."
Eve did not seem impressed. "In that case, he can leave me Trelawne," she said, a demure dimple appearing suddenly at one corner of her mouth. Mr. Grimshaw looked at her for a moment in silence, and then shook his head disapprovingly, but decided to yield the point, for the time being at least.
"Well, what exactly do you propose to do?"
he asked.
"Are you going down to Cornwall to look at the house? And if so, how are you off for funds? I can advance you anything you require at the moment, you know."
But she shook her head, smiling now. "Thank you, but I have a little money of my own saved up. I've got quite a good job, you know." He did know that, although she only looked about 21, but might possibly have been between 24 or 25, she had managed to acquire a degree at London University and was history mistress at a